Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for our meditation this morning is the epistle reading we read a moment ago from Romans chapter 7. And I got to tell you that Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 13 that we just read, is just getting you ready for the end of the chapter 7. It's about sanctification. And this is Paul explaining to us what is sanctification. Now, everybody got a dictionary in their pocket? Because what is sanctification? Sanctification is you are holy. All of you are. All of us. All of us here right now, you are all holy. And there's millions of holy people throughout the world because we have been sanctified. Sanctified by what Jesus did on the cross. That is what sanctification is. It's a big word. It can be really dominating. And some people can really make a lot of talk about it. But it's really very simple. You had no part in it. It was done for you. You are holy. In the eyes of God, He loves you. You are His child. Each and every one of us is God's own child. And speaking of a child, I put in some time this week down there at the fair at the Old Settlers with the corn dog wagon. And then we walked around a bit too, and we had some fun and things like that. But let me tell you, on more than one occasion, on many occasions, I saw a little boy or a little girl, a very little one, "Mommy, I want that. Mommy, I want that. Mommy, can I have some of that cotton candy? Can I have a corn dog? Can I get some of that ice cream? Can Mommy, 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 Daddy, Daddy, Daddy?" You know how little kids are. They do that. Don't they? What do teenagers do?
"Dad, can I have the car keys? Dad, I need some money for gas.
Mom, Dad, I want to go to the prom with my friends. I want a new dress for the prom. I want. Don't they do that? You've had teenagers, they'll ask quite a bit. We still have a teenager at home. He's a wonderful young man. I love him dearly. But man, he asked and asked and asked. And I just got to sit there and realize he's typical. This average. But what about us as adults? Do we act like that?" It's quoted as Martin Luther saying one of his last words that he ever spoke was, "We're all beggars." What we are. We're all beggars. Matter of fact, in this, the psalm that we just read responsively, "Plead my cause and redeem me. Give me life according to your promise." Like, we got to remind God what His promise is. "Look on my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget your law." Really? Do we? You remember His law? I can't remember all of His law every day in every step I take. Let me tell you, I smack my thumb with a hammer and it's not horse feathers that comes out of my mouth. I'm human. I'm the way God made me. But because of our fall into sin, I'm a poor, miserable sinner. So as an adult, I'm going to beg God for this. I want God to help me with that. I want my mother-in-law to be healthy. I want my... when I hear a siren and it's an ambulance,
say a prayer. Lord, deliver those people to where they're going. Let them help that poor soul they need to be with. When a helicopter goes over our house, I ask the Lord, safely get them to where they're going and taking care of one of your children. We ask God for everything. We want that. Lord, I need help with a job. Lord, my car doesn't work. We beg God for so much, and we beg, and we beg, and we ask Him, and we ask Him. And that's why in this first verse of our epistle lesson today, Paul speaks the way he does. Look at it. He says, do you not know, brothers? It's like, hey, hello. Don't you know what the law is? You know what the law is. You don't have to be reminded every single day. You've been in the law. You know what it's like to work. It's terrible. You're retired, yet you still do an awful lot. You do more now than you did when you were working, probably. What's the deal here? Lord, you said you would deliver us. You would take care of us. That's what the Israelites did the whole time through the Exodus. That whole 40 years they were wandering around. Yeah, I know the guys didn't ask for directions. But they got hungry. God fed them. They got thirsty. He gave them water. I give you bread. I give you water. That's what you need to live. And He provides for it. That's His mercy. He provides a great amount of mercy. Because we are poor, miserable sinners. We can't follow the law. We need that book. You've seen those books? You know, Microsoft for Dummies. Crocheting for Dummies. They have a whole school of those books. They need one, Christianity for Dummies. Because we still don't do it. And let me tell you, that's why God has mercy, because we can. That's the first thing you need to know about sanctification, is you got no part in it because you can't do it. Yeah, it's frustrating. For I am speaking to those who know the law, being you, that the law is binding on a person only as long as he lives. That's why he gave that illustration about the woman. There's a long story about why Paul chose that illustration. It was more pertinent then in the days of the Roman rule than it is today. But the illustration is, the law applies to us while we're living, while we're alive. The law applies to us. But then he goes on to say, you also have died to the law through the body of Christ. What do we say when you are baptized? You are dead in your sin. You're dead in your trespasses. You've been made alive in Christ. Many people say, I've been born again. And whenever they do that, they say, I've been saved. It's true. They've been saved. We have all been saved by Christ. But now, does that mean we're released from the law? The law doesn't apply to us. No. See what the gospel. Jesus said, do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have come not to bring peace, but a sword. He did not come to abolish the law. He came to fulfill the law. Because we can't. That's why we need sanctification. That's why we need to hear the words, in the stead, by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. You need to hear those words Sometimes you need to hear those words more than once a week. Sometimes you need to hear that twice a week. We have church on Wednesday night just for that opportunity to hear the word of God and to hear the wonderful, sweet words, "You're forgiven." Now, he also says, by the works that we have received, the mercy that we have been shown, it enables us to show mercy and grace to others, most especially in the forgiveness. Someone does you wrong, you forgive them and go on. And you can't say it enough that as bad as we are, as sinful as we are, as I am, Lord, as much as I beg that He forgive me my sins, don't you think those that have erred against you would like to hear those words as well from you? That's how God wants us to live. It's not law. It's gospel. It's sweet, sweet grace. You know, I haven't had to water my lawn this year at all. God's been doing a really good job at it. But then He's been watering the lawn of my neighbor as well, even though they're cattle. The mercy of God falls on everyone, regardless of whatever faith they are. Yet do they receive it as such and come and share in worshiping and praising our Lord in a beautiful church, or getting together with friends and celebrating by doing a Bible study and sharing the Word? In our Bible class this morning, that one pastor shared that whenever the gifts that you know, we take a collection now for mission projects or for disaster relief, and whenever those gifts are given, the Word of God is delivered. Just in that grace. Like the Philippines, we help them out. More Oklahoma, we help them out. Illinois, it's a big Democratic state, and we still help Illinois out. Southern Indiana, we help them out. You know, the love of God, His mercy, is for all of us, and it's great. And that's wonderful. Thanks be to God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.